across deserts and mountains? Or would you take to the sky, which despite the bitter cold is still vast and filled with light? What work would you take? I'm looking at the choir here. What mischief would you make? With boldness and bravery, what failure would you embrace, and what would you release, and where in the end would you return and call home? In this new day, no magic wishing or wondering is required, for such a chance is always available, as within the out and in of breath, to begin now, to live like we mean it, to see with new eyes the life that is already and always available, to respond to this gift with wonder and gratitude, to join in this partnership, to tend to this flame. Come, let us worship together. So good morning. I'm Reverend D.L. Helfer. I welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of South County, and it is going to be a fun morning. I do start with a few announcements, though. The Rhode Island Interfaith Coalition to Reduce Poverty has a legislative priority on the passage of Budget Article 10, which will increase access to high-quality pre-K public child care programs for all Rhode Island children. We're asking you to help by signing your name and address on two postcards to your representative and senator. You could do so during coffee hour after the service. Barbara Holtzman asked me to let you know that there are also postcards for reproductive rights. It's time for us to pressure the Senate. Come help fill out postcards for that as well in the community room after service. Nessa Richmond asked me to let you know that our equal exchange booth will only be open until 11:30 today, so don't dilly-dally after service. And lastly, from Dave Rudy, today ends our formal pledge drive. If you need pledge cards or information about IRAs or other 401k donations, please see Dave after service today. So today, as you can tell by all the great little voices in here, is a multi-generational service, which means everyone is welcome to stay for the duration, although there is always childcare available downstairs at all times for those under 5 years of age. If you're here with a little one and under five, and you're staying upstairs for the baby blessings, feel free during the hymn to take a little one down to the nursery if that would help your participation or their participation in the rest of the morning. So at this point, if you're new and you're comfortable doing so, I invite you to rise and let us know your name and maybe where you're visiting from, but everyone's just waving to babies. Is there anyone new who would like to introduce themselves or visiting? All right, well then I will remind you that there are four emergency exits in the sanctuary, should it ever be needed. There's one behind me through the choir room and down the stairs, one through our community room and down a ramp, one where you came in, and one through the back hallway. So at this point, I invite you to silence your cell phones for the remainder of the service and join us in a spirit of joy as we begin our worship together.
The gathering music today won't be The Merry-Go-Round by Georges Bizet. It'll instead be a piece called Blue Charlie Brown by Vince Guaraldi.
Thank you.
Bethany lights the chalice, I invite you to join me in the reading of our unison chalice lighting. You'll find the words in your order of service. We are all flames when we gather hand in hand in our community, our home. We inspire, we celebrate, we come together, sharing our light of hope for our shared future. So I invite you to rise in body or spirit for the recitation of our shared covenant. Love is the spirit of this congregation, and service is its prayer. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. So today is all about the youngest among us. So I just want to encourage parents and grandparents that if kids are making noise, great. Don't worry about it. Let them make all the noise they need to make. So coming as it does, so close to the beginning of a new life, the Unitarian Universalist ceremony of baby and child dedications seems to parallel similar rituals found in other faith traditions, such as the Christian tradition of baptism or christening. These terms have sometimes been loosely applied to this dedication process as well. But it's not accurate. There are significant differences between our baby dedications and the way it's developed in other religious contexts. Unitarians have never accepted the notion that children are born in sin, or that the newborn comes into the world in any state other than one of complete purity. Nor is there any suggestion from a Unitarian Universalist perspective that the child is being committed this morning to some specific set of beliefs or becoming a member of a specific creedal statement. Because what do we believe? We believe that each individual must be assisted, accompanied, to develop an authentic religion, an authentic understanding of their own, and to make a decision at a mature age whether or not to become a member of an organized body. So what we offer, and what I think Bethany has been leading us in so well, is spiritual growth. We do offer religious education, but in an informal way, so that what's done within the family life at home is supplemented by a spiritual scaffolding here that will help the youngest among us to figure out how to tackle life's important questions. So the ceremony of dedication stands as a symbol. It's a symbol of the child's relationship to this community. This community and every community that their life touches in ever-widening circles. So with that background, I invite the families and the children being dedicated forward at this time to the front of the sanctuary. We gather today to celebrate the birth and early years of these amazing young beings. Feel free to take seats if you would. And you can also use Bethany and my chairs. Where's Michael? Could I use the bench? Clearly, we need to do baby and child dedications on a more regular basis. So we gather today to celebrate the birth and early years of Charlie Brady. Charlie, where are you? There's Charlie. With parents Nina Magliacchetti and Matt Brady. Sarika and Devi Coletta. There you are. With parents Malice and AJ Coletta. Ronan, we gather to celebrate Ronan and Desmond Hanlon. There you are, with parents Kathleen Carr and Peter Hanlon. Estelle, Rose, Marie, where are... Oh, right in front of me. This is Estelle. Unscripted. With parents Emily and Burke, Marie. Novi Peltz. Yeah, there you are. With parents Sissy Westerberg and Daniel Peltz. Paxton Rudicardo. With parents Carrie Curto and April Rudiflores. And Noah, Samantha, and Caleb Seibert. Oh, sorry. I can't read my... Noah Island, Juniper Seibert, with parents Samantha and Caleb Seibert.
Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they... belong, you may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but do not seek to make them like you, for life goes not backward nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable. By Khalil Gibran.
So we acknowledge that we don't yet really have any idea the impact that these beautiful young beings will have on our world. So our purpose as beloved community is to support these young lives and their parents, whatever shape they take. We lift these young beings up to the universe, or we put them on the floor, and we ask for love, for protection, for acceptance as they grow into whomever they will become.
To you as parents, let me say this. In presenting your child or your children at this service, you invite us all to share with you in your joy and to support you in your dedication. As you undertake to help with love and guidance the fullest unfolding of the personalities of these children entrusted to our care. That undertaking will not always be an easy one. The time may come when you may be called upon to sacrifice ambitions, deny yourself pleasure, set aside dreams, in order that the child may tread the more surely the onward path of life. You accept this service to another with whose life your lives are entwined and will be ever the richer and fuller in consequence. Do you now promise that by example and affection, you will, to the best of your ability, help this child or these children to an appreciation of truth and beauty, of character and love? The correct response is, we do, parents. Congregation, your role here is a substantial one. In dedicating your children into the Unitarian Universalist faith, we are called to be in their lives in substantial, supportive, honest, and loving ways. Do you, congregation, promise to delight in the accomplishments, share in the sorrows, and encourage these children in every way as this phase of life, in this phase of life, and as they grow into adulthood? And that we do.
So to dedicate children, we use a red rose with all of its thorns removed. Symbolic of the dual nature of both protecting young life while also watching them blossom. The bridging ceremony as youth enter adulthood uses the same symbolism, though that time without the thorns removed. Indicating our shared journey concurrent with all the joys and sorrows that life might offer. We're almost there, Charlie. We really are. So traditionally, the minister dedicates the children. And this is important for you to hear. Today, the minister is not dedicating the children, because I think that that's a really old notion stemming from an unspoken Christian belief that clergy are somehow vessels of God. As I speak of often, Unitarian Universalist Unitarian Universalist congregations are made up of those who are assembled here. It is you who these young beings count on. It is you who will love them into the fullness of their beings. So it is you, along with Bethany and myself, who will bless and dedicate these children today. If you look in your order of service, there's a sheet. And on one side, it has the names of these beautiful young children and their families. And on the other side are words of dedication. And every minute or so, I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to do this with the rose. And when I do, I need you to read the next line. I'm starting now, Charlie. All right, so as I start, would you read the first line, please?
Sacred source of all life and source of these new lives in our midst, we are in wonder at the miracle of birth, and we are overjoyed with gratitude for the precious lives of Charlie Brady, Sarika and Davi Coletta, Ronan and Desmond Hanlon, Estelle Rose Marie, Novi Peltz, Paxton Roydicurto, and Noah Isla and Juniper Siebert. Grant their parents and to all those present today the wisdom and courage and strength to lead them in the journey of their lives. May this extended family be for them a firm root, a circle of love, and a source of vision. Amen. Parents, you may be seated, and if you wish to go downstairs to the nursery, please feel free to do so.
Everyone else, would you rise in body or spirit and join us in singing hymn number 409, Sleep, My Child. So this is the time in our service when no small child is actually trying to talk over me. But I gotta say, aren't they amazing? Don't you love the newest members of our, the newest parts of our congregation? So this is the time when you're invited forward to state your name, drop a pebble, and in a sentence or two, tell us of a great joy or a great concern on your heart this week. I invite you forward at this time. You might as well just take the mic.
I would like to go last.
No, you're not.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Ann Seaman, and I'm leaving home. I'm moving to Arizona to be near my daughter, hopefully this summer. And you're all very special to me. This is my home, and I will miss you all, and I love you all.
I'm Larry Kelland. I'm putting in a stone of, well, sort of a good note. I noticed that sometimes we have discussions about walkers, that some people need them. And I would just mention, I happen to have one just sitting at home, so there's one more walker than we may realize.
Hi, I just want to ask, last week I told you how I drove Squeaky away with my anger and my insecurity, so he's still gone, and I wonder, like, I've got to talk to him today, so I need, like, prayers for the right thing to say to him so I can, he'll come back, and also, if you know, like, a counselor, I'm going to a counselor right now, but if you know anybody who's more heavy duty than that, like a, I don't know, a therapist or something who takes Medicare, you know, I'd really appreciate it. It's the concern is for myself. I suddenly realize I should need to have a stone. Anyway, thank you.
I do know somebody for you. My name's Suzanne Marcy, and this is a pebble of great joy. Beatrice just made me a bracelet, and it's making me very happy. Thank you.
Good morning. This is a stone of progress. My mother's ankle is getting steadily better, and I will be going to the Social Security Administration at 9 on the 15th, I believe, so I can get my unemployment working, which would be a good thing. Thank you.
Junie has something to say. No. I'm going to drop two stones, one for a great joy of welcoming our third child. Thank you, yes. Juniper Bell, and what a delight she is. And a second stone for our dear friends, Susan and Burr Harrison, that I don't know how my husband and I would have had this family and been so happy without them. And we're so glad they're here with us today. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Johnny Rodriguez. This is a stone of joy and appreciation. For those of you who were here last night, you probably remember a stage full of feathers and songs and stories about Ethel Waters. And thank you so much for all who came, and please keep coming to Lily Pads, and thank you to all my volunteers.
I dropped this last pebble for all those joys and sorrows left unsaid. May you feel held in the love of community this week and all weeks.
Okay, so kids in the room, you get to move again, and if you would like to come forward, I have a story to share with you this morning. If anybody else is feeling a little antsy and wants to come forward, you're more than welcome to. So, yep, come have a seat. And then you kids are going to be welcome to stay up here for the rest of the service. I'm going to have something fun for you to do. But first, I'm going to tell you my story. Yep, here we go. Come fill in. All right. So, many years ago in the country of Thailand, which is far away, there was a temple called the Temple of the Golden Buddha. And there was indeed an enormous statue made of gold of the Buddha in the monastery of this village. And it could be seen gleaming from miles away. And the monks would sit at the statue's feet while they practiced their meditation. And it was the pride and joy of that village. So one day, word came to this village that an army from a neighboring country was about to attack. They were going to be invaded. And they were worried that that army would see their golden Buddha and only see it as gold and desire it as treasure and take it. And so they hatched a clever plot to disguise the statue of the Buddha. They got some mud and some concrete, and they began to cover up the golden statue until finally it just looked like a stone and somewhat dirty statue. And so the army came in, and when they passed by the monastery, all they saw was a stone Buddha, and it had no value to them, so they left it alone. Now they continued to occupy the land for some time. So many years passed, and more dirt got into the cracks of the stone Buddha, and some vines started to grow around the base of it. And it got to the point where nobody in the monastery or the village remembered that there was actually a golden Buddha beneath the stone. Now, one morning, a young monk, a young novice, was sitting at the feet of the Buddha practicing his meditation, but his mind was very fidgety. He just couldn't seem to sit still. And so, as his legs were twitching, he accidentally slipped and he knocked the toe of the Buddha, and a piece of stone fell off, and he had a moment of panic because he thought he's broken this statue. But then something caught his eye. There was a gleam of gold. And all of a sudden he jumped up and ran back to the monastery yelling, "The Buddha is golden! The Buddha is golden!" He told his fellow monks, and they all got their hammers and their chisels, and they ran back to the statue, and carefully they began to chip away at the stone that was covering their golden Buddha. Until at last, it again could be seen gleaming from miles away. They uncovered that glorious golden Buddha that had been such a special thing for their temple. Now, when this story was first told to me, it was a special symbol for what happens when we're born and grow up in this world. It was a symbol of how when we're born, we understand how wonderful and magnificent we are, and we live in this beautiful golden understanding of who we are. But then as we grow, sometimes things hurt us or people have expectations of us, and it's like stone starts to cover up that gold. And so what's so special about a day today, like today when we come together and we celebrate each other as individuals in our community, is that we say to each other, "We see you. We see who you truly are, you magnificent being." Because the truth is, that Buddha never stopped being golden. That gold was always there. And I know some days I feel like I have stone and concrete covering any gold that I might have. And so the thing that we're here to do today is to say to each other, no matter where you are, stone or golden, we see you and we love you. We love you just the way you are. You are magnificent. So that's what you can think of if you ever remember the Temple of the Golden Buddha.
So with that in mind, there's a framed picture in my office that anyone that's been in there has noticed. It features a beautiful red-cheeked little girl. And she's grinning broadly and holding what appears to be a stuffed baby rabbit. This child just emanates joy. And since I have ample time to gaze at the picture from my desk when I'm struggling with a sermon or participating in a particularly boring conference call, I've gotten pretty familiar with it. The picture's a gift to us as a congregation, left to us by the estate of Charlotte McLean, a former member here and a woman of much strength whose celebration of life we held here a few months ago. And Charlotte's legacy seems particularly present today. She was a trailblazer for international adoptions, and there's many a child who got to experience family life thanks to Charlotte's tireless efforts. I'm sorry, Paxton. She knew that every child, screaming or not, is a gift. The ones in orphanages, the ones in war zones, in poverty, and of course, the beautiful children right here in South County. Because Charlotte, I think Charlotte understood a truth that some of us here miss sometimes, myself included. The children are born whole into this world. It's not a matter, as a colleague reminds me all the time, for the child to grow into who they are. The children are who they are, minus any trauma they might experience, and hopefully they don't. They are a whole person right now. A colleague of mine, Reverend Tom Owentoll, says it this way. He says, children are not our future, they're our present. And listening to the kids, I often think they know more than they're telling us. So there was this notion, and I think a lot of you are familiar with it, once upon a time, the children are a tabula rasa, a clean slate with no ideas of their own when they're first born. And that's a useful notion for communities concerned about sin, for a child that knows nothing can't be inherently sinful. One can put ideas into that child's head and craft someone who reflects their parents' and community's beliefs. Such is not our purpose here. We are not here to craft adherence to convince young minds what to believe. We're here to journey with them as they discover their own truths. Truths that some, if not all of them, carry from the earliest moments of their lives. Raise your hand if what I say rings true for you. Are you a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, or a friend who sees something in a young child that can't be explained, that can't be taught, that must be inherent to who they are? Thank you. Children are the furthest thing possible from blank slates needing to be filled with ideas not their own. And we are in a faith tradition where possibly the most sacred thing we hold is the journey itself, which means we're not so much teachers and formers of young people as we are allies and supporters of their own search for truth and meaning. This past week, I kind of half watched because I couldn't bear to entirely. I watched the establishment Democrats reject the proposed new Green Deal. I watched the legislators treat the younger legislators, like uninformed children. It's too radical, too far-fetched, too unrealistic, they said. These from people whose lives are more behind them than in front of them. What can young people know of what it takes to change our world, they claimed. Everything. Young people know everything. And not that I'm looking at these little innocent, wonderful lives to be our saviors, but I'll tell you that when one of them talks, I listen. They have answers to questions we don't even know to ask. They have ideas that we adults cannot dream into being. They have beliefs and possibilities and visions that if we can say yes, then we might find ourselves truly changed. So let's be very clear. These young, beautiful beings we just dedicated, they're not our future. They're our present. And yes, of course, they need to grow into themselves a bit, or else our entire world might be constructed out of Legos. But, and this is an important but, they have what they need. They have love, they have safety, and they have community. They need that opportunity to grow and explore. while they are being held in love and respect. So let us celebrate our babies and children. And I want you to say it. I want you to know it's 616 words. That is the shortest homily you're ever going to get from me. So enjoy it. Please join me in the words of extinguishing our chalice. We extinguish this chalice, but not its light, that we take with us out into the world, sharing it with those we encounter on our journey. I'm going to start with something I don't normally do. Could we give the choir and Mike and Bethany an extra thank you? Because there was a lot behind the scenes to make that happen. As today, we have received these children into our congregation and committed ourselves to their nurture, let us now receive into our hearts all children. Let us remember the children we once were and who still live within us. Let us love them now in this quiet moment. Let us remember children of our own families and the children of friends. And let us love them now in the quiet of this moment. I'm almost done, Paxton. Let us remember all children and commit ourselves to the growth and safety, their health and education, their uniqueness and their unfolding beauty. Let us love them now in the quiet of this moment and forevermore. Amen. May we sing our closing song.